This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. This warning for the U.S. from the military spokesperson for the Houthi rebels in Yemen who are backed by Iran. He says they will attack American ships in the Red Sea if the U.S. attacks Iran. The U.S. and the Houthis agreed to a ceasefire just last month. Hundreds of stranded Israelis evacuated to Cyprus, boarded a cruise ship today for home, an estimated 1,500, mostly young people from all over the world who were in Israel to connect with their Jewish heritage.
You see so many people looking any way to go back home. I think that this is part of who we are. We're not running away.
After more than 3 months in federal custody, Columbia University grad student and activist Mahmoud Khalil has been released from an immigration detention facility in Louisiana and is now in New Jersey, speaking today in Newark.
Even if they would kill me, I would still speak up for Palestine.
Millions in the U.S. under heat alerts or warnings. This is ABC News. A skin cancer warning for people of color. Specialists promote the ABCDEs of melanoma, a potentially deadly type of skin cancer. Five key characteristics.
With African Americans, people think that because they have melanin, they're totally protected from the sun, and they're not.
Dr. Janine Downey, a board-certified dermatologist.
Black people are underdiagnosed, brown and black people, because a lot of U.S. doctors are not trained on brown and black skin.
Cancerous moles can be in unusual places like under the nails or in the genital area. The five warning signs are available online. Some tourists in England today will never forget today's sunrise on the longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. They cheered at Stonehenge. The orange ball sent a beam of light into the center of the stone circle. The solstice is one of the few occasions when visitors are allowed to walk among the stones at Stonehenge. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us now.
Three in four people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, do we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shelley Pittman. Efforts to make communities across Wisconsin more livable will soon be underway in 8 communities across the state. Past initiatives of the AARP Wisconsin's Community Challenge Funds have helped to change citywide policies. For more, here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
11 grantees collectively received more than $100,000 in funds to implement quick action projects this year through AARP Wisconsin's Community Challenge. Jennifer Stefani with Creative Downtown Appleton Incorporated is a past recipient and used the funds to install a seasonal parklet or mobile patio in an area that lacked these amenities. She says the aluminum parklet is handicap accessible, includes 3 tables and 6 chairs with planters and herbs for public use.
So it's rosemary and basil, and we have some kale in there. We take care of watering it throughout the summer, and residents can just come down and pick the fresh herbs.
Stefani worked with the city of Appleton to develop a citywide policy for parklets. She says the grant funds were instrumental given the funding constraints that organizations like hers face. Darren Wasniewski with AARP Wisconsin notes the funds are designed to improve quality and accessibility for residents of all ages and abilities. He says these projects often spark community interest in similar initiatives to meet local needs.
Not all of our grantees cities need to go on and change city policy, but it's always great when they can be used as that catalyst to have these public discussions about, is there something that we can change to make the community livable for all?
Some of this year's AARP-funded projects include handicap accessibility improvements, home repairs for seniors, digital access and literacy expansion, and housing alternatives. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Heat advisory through the weekend, a low only in the upper 70s tonight and mostly clear, hot, humid, hazy for tomorrow, highs in the mid-90s, heat index triple digits. Some storms on Monday, staying warm and humid with highs in the upper 80s. Currently, it's 94 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Charlie Pittman joins us to cover all the weekend news. And then we're talking ticks in hour number two with entomologist PJ Leash, the bug guy. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Civic Media Spotlight. To kick us off, we have the Maggie Dawn Show. In this show, Maggie breaks down a new lawsuit alleging Elon Musk attempted to buy influence in Wisconsin's elections. After that, Maggie talks to Jeff Mandel and Scott Thompson from Law Forward to explore how billionaire interference threatens to turn elections into auctions.
Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. And happy Wednesday afternoon to each and every one of you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a stacked show for you all this afternoon. We're going to begin by talking about billionaire baby boys and their attempts to buy elections and what we should all be doing about that. We're then going to be joined at the bottom of this hour by an expert from the American Foreign Policy Council to help us understand what got us to this point with Iran and what may come next. I think that's going to be an absolutely critical discussion. Big props to my senior producer, Jamie, for lining up these guests this afternoon to cover all of the breaking news. And then at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, critically importantly, we are going to be joined by Indivar Duttagupta, or Indy. He's been on the show before. He is a Doris Duke Distinguished Visiting Fellow at Georgetown. He knows all about budget policy, and especially what is going on with the Senate markups. We're going to talk about those potential impacts to Wisconsinites and the middle class. And then finally, in that 5 o'clock hour, we're also going to be joined, in response to the breaking news this morning, by Abigail Swetz, the executive director of Fair Wisconsin. This, of course, in reaction to the breaking news this morning that the Supreme Court doesn't understand that the Equal Protection Clause means equal. We're going to discuss that. Basically, the Supreme Court has endorsed trans care bans for minors, flying in the face of prior Supreme Court precedent that said sexual identity and questions of gender are indeed part of what is protected by the Equal Protection Clause. And therefore, when a government regulates in that space, those regulations must be subjected to the highest level of scrutiny to ensure that our most fundamental constitutional protections are actually given full breath here on Earth One. Apparently, the Supreme Court doesn't get that. At least six of them, that decision coming down on ideological lines. So we've got so much to talk with you about. Very pleased to have with me a frequent guest of this program and a new guest to the program. I'm joined to begin by Jeff Mandel, the executive director and head of Law Forward, as well as Scott Thompson, one of the lawyers there with Jeff, to talk about this groundbreaking lawsuit in response to, I don't know, a weird new way to corrupt elections that billionaire baby boy Elon Musk came up with in our last election cycle here in Wisconsin. You'll remember this. He was giving away huge cardboard checks to people. I don't know, seemed to be something that we might be concerned about, since paying people to vote has been made illegal since the Tammany Hall days. It's sort of pay to play at its most fundamental. They filed a lawsuit that has garnered nationwide attention to stop this practice. Welcome back to the show, Jeff. Welcome to the show, Scott. Gentlemen, let's start with you, Jeff. Can you tell us exactly the claim that is being made in the lawsuit and why this is so important to keep Wisconsin elections fair?
Well, thanks, Maggie. We're glad to be here. This really is a case about free and fair elections and protecting those here in Wisconsin. And so what we have done on behalf of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and voters here in Wisconsin is brought a case asking the court to make clear that this conduct, this scheme, violates the election bribery statute here in Wisconsin, constitutes an illegal lottery under Wisconsin law, and that it was a civil conspiracy between Musk and two nonprofit organizations that he has significant control over, and also that this was a public nuisance, because free and fair elections are a public good for everyone in the state of Wisconsin, and this attempt to interfere is a nuisance. And so we are proceeding on behalf of the state of Wisconsin to fight back against that.
So let's just recap in case anybody missed this. So you got public nuisance. We've got a civil conspiracy. What was the first item on the tick list of wrongness about what Elon Musk did?
Well, we're asking the court for what's called a declaratory judgment. So the court is going to say, this is what the law means. And as part of that declaration, we're saying this constituted election bribery under our statute here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin statute 12.11, it's quite clear, and this is not okay.
Yeah, Wisconsin statute 12.11, listen, I've been asked to interpret it in my former life as the corp counsel for Milwaukee County, and basically it was like, yeah, you can't even offer free bus rides. You got to worry about handing out water to voters in line because of the aggressive nature with which the right polices, and I use that word intentionally, polices, and I think some would argue engages in voter intimidation when it comes to get out the vote efforts on the day of. I was like, if I can't hand somebody a bottle of water in line to vote when there's a long line, how is it possible that Elon Musk gets to hand them a big old cardboard check of $1 million? It just seems so absurd. Scott, let me ask you, have you heard from any conservatives that were in good faith also troubled by this kind of overt, loud and proud corruption?
I think that people of all stripes felt it in their gut. I think that people from across the aisle really sensed that this was different. And even if you look at the complaint, one of the recipients of the $1 million check went on video with America PAC and identified that he had previously done get out the vote work and that this was something different, that people hadn't done it like this before. And as our complaint really makes clear, we think that's because it's illegal. So really, again, that's why we brought the lawsuit. We think that people are right. We think that that sense of unfairness that had many people, like I said, across the aisle, sort of furrowing their brow and really feeling uncomfortable, we think those people are right and that the law backs that up.
This is from the Washington Post coverage. The lawsuit filed in state court by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign says that Musk's actions create the, quote, risk that Wisconsin elections will become an open auction where votes go to the preferred candidates of the highest bidders. And the election outcome is determined by which candidate has a patron willing and able to pay the highest sum to Wisconsin voters. That's the piece, Scott, that you think regular people, when you look at that and you stand back, and it literally is like putting a for sale sign in the front of the metaphoric lawn of our house of democracy. And I struggle to understand, like, what's the long game for conservatives? Because then is it just an auction? Again, which candidate has which deeper pocketed guys lined up to hand out checks to would be voters? It seems to smack of very, very partisan short-sightedness that it was okay because it was Elon. I mean, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't conservatives freak out when Zuckerbucks and other wealthy folks tried to give money to help literally just campaign workers, completely different, election workers during the pandemic because so much more help was needed, and they screamed bloody murder then. Not a peep now, it seems. Strange, wouldn't you say?
It's not just that they screamed bloody murder, but we amended our state constitution
right.
to prohibit any private funding for election administration. And then, as you note, we have someone coming in and pouring tens of millions of dollars into this campaign. You know, what's so disturbing to me, Maggie, and it's in the complaint, is another article from the Washington Post, this one the day after our spring election, where North Carolina U.S. Senator Tom Tillis basically said that Elon Musk is a disruptor and that we all just need to get used to it. And what we should expect is that this will be the new normal going forward. And we should expect to see wealthy partisans on both sides standing on election stages, giving out those giant cardboard checks for $1 million. And that cannot become the new normal. That's why we're bringing this lawsuit, is we cannot go down that road. We are completely convinced it's already a violation of Wisconsin law. As Scott said, almost everyone we speak to agrees. Everyone is uncomfortable about this and says, that can't be right, can it? And so we are asking a court to step in and confirm what everyone already knows and make sure that this does not become the new normal here in Wisconsin or anywhere else.
Folks, if you're just joining us, this is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm joined this half hour by Scott Thompson and Jeff Mandel of Law Forward. If you missed the news a few weeks back, they filed a lawsuit in partnership and with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign to stop the billionaire baby, otherwise known as Elon Musk, from handing out huge cardboard checks for $1 million or $100 to would-be voters for signing up. This just seems to me, Jeff, to be the natural evolution of the Supreme Court's complete failure to understand correctly on Earth One the corrupting influence of private money in political campaigns. Where do you think this lawsuit goes? Do you think it gets resolved by the Supreme Court of Wisconsin? Do you think that the U.S. Supreme Court would be open to this kind of what I'm just going to call out-and-out bribery?
I don't think anyone believes that even the U.S. Supreme Court, that has equated money with speech and has vacated so many reasonable restrictions on how we try to make sure we're having free, fair elections, I don't believe anyone thinks that they are going to say that Wisconsin's election bribery statute is somehow unconstitutional. So this case should begin and end here in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But this is, as you note, this is an evolution of what has happened. It is part of how our laws have devolved from Citizens United at the federal level to getting rid of tremendous amounts of campaign finance regulation here in the state while Governor Walker was in charge of the state. It's really unfortunate, and it's hard to believe that it was only a little bit more than a decade ago that Wisconsin was leading the way and had a Supreme Court election with full public financing and was a model and a light for the nation. And now look how different things are, and we need to bring this lawsuit.
And we have no one to thank for that except Wisconsin Republicans and Wisconsin former Republican Governor Scott Walker. We're going to continue this conversation with Scott Thompson and Jeff Mandel of Law Forward. On the other side, do you have questions for the gentleman or myself? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Government corruption, live and well here in Wisconsin, but we're going to do something about it. No more billionaire babies handing out big old checks to swing elections in a corrupt way. Stay tuned. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Turn up the summer vibes at Chula Vista Resort, your playground for summer dreams, water parks, and sun-soaked pools. Epic water slides, soaring zip lines, and world-class golf. Dine in the number one steakhouse in Wisconsin, Chula Vista Resort. Call 1-800-388-4782 or visit chulavistaresort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the top 10 indoor water parks in the USA, with 26 water slides over 1.5 miles long. Find out more at chulavistaresort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We welcome you back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Here we have Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. In this segment, Pat Kreitlow has some thoughts on a regime trying to rewrite historical records through its anti-DEI efforts and condoning federal government kidnappings of those they deem to be unpersons.
Parker's just finding us all kinds of new bumper music here from this new library that we get to dip into here.
Yeah,
so,
trying to keep you on your toes.
A Thursday morning vibe to it. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we will not have our usual Friday guests, like almost any of them, well, at least for the first 2 hours of the show, because everybody's got days off or they're traveling or have other conflicts. So at 6:30 tomorrow, instead of Kiev Akil from Courier Newsroom, we will be talking to Catherine Hempstead, the senior policy advisor at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, because they just put out a new report on the Trump big bloated budget boondoggle. And if that thing holds, Wisconsin hospitals are going to see a $3 billion reduction in spending over the next decade. And there will also be a $900 million increase in uncompensated care in Wisconsin hospitals. And there will be Wisconsin hospitals that cannot survive that. This current bill is detrimental to the health of rural health care in Wisconsin. And so we'll talk to Catherine Hempstead about that study tomorrow. And also, in place of Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and Jim Santel, believe it or not, I found one woman who can replace them all. And that would be the one, the only, Joan Esposito, Chicago broadcasting legend, is going to join me for the 7 a.m. hour tomorrow. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly here at 8:05 tomorrow and Mike Clemens with sports at 8:30. So a lot to cover, not your typical Friday tomorrow. Let's see, from on the text line. Oh, this would be Luke Mathers saying, I'm going to see, help me again here, it's Hozier? Not Hozier? Not Hozier?
Hozier.
Hozier? Should I go with the French?
Hozier.
Okay.
Like, Hozier. Like the word cozier?
Okay. Like cozier. Hozier. All right.
Yeah.
So Luke is going to go see him, them. Is this a Bon Iver situation where it's a band name, but it's one person?
Yeah. One person, but it's a band, yes.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to be clear on this. Grandpa wants to understand these things. So
I'm proud of you, Grandpa.
Let's take a look at what's happening at the state capitol here, because it is, it's interesting. Because you have a University of Wisconsin system that is already one of the least supported in the country in terms of public funding by legislatures around the country. And we know why that is. It's part of an ongoing Republican war against education. It started with a war on teachers back during Act 10. And now Republican lawmakers want to drag the UW down further. Instead of considering requests from Governor Tony Evers, and not just Governor Tony Evers, but hundreds upon hundreds of business leaders who asked Republican legislators to better support the UW, and the governor put in a request for more than $800 million in improved funding for the UW system. Now, Republicans were never going to approve $800 in additional funding for the UW system. They might have done, you know, half of that or a quarter of that. They're not even going to do that. They are actually talking about cutting the level of funding further for the UW system. And why is that? Well, see the comments from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. I mean, the only way to describe it is the perpetual whining about quote-unquote political correctness. And has them, thank you, oh, there he is now. It has them demanding changes in how ideas are discussed. I mean, I am no expert on Orwellian literature, but how much closer to, you know, the thought police can you get? A lot of this started with our colleague Todd Alba, who had been talking to folks in the Capitol, and got word of this possibility that rather than just a diminished level of increased support for the UW, they might actually cut the funding. And for a little while, Republicans were playing rather coy with it. And then, you know, Robin Voss, you can always count on him to eventually say, you know, the quiet parts out loud and say, yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. Because according to him, the UW system had not done enough to ensure conservative students feel like they belong on campus. Well, let's look at that for a bit. What is the track record so far of the current conservative movement? Because, again, the Orwellian parallels are striking. Because in 1984, you've got a Ministry of Truth that works to rewrite historical records. What do we see now with the so-called DEI attacks, which are nothing more than trying to erase the history of Black Americans and Native Americans and the LGBTQ community? So we have something close to a Ministry of Truth and a hostility in this legislature as well that wanted to cut the UW system last time around until the various DEI positions for diversity, equity, and inclusion, oh, the horror, were gutted. And of course, I mean, there's the official government actions taken against those who fall out of favor with the ruling party. They become unpersons in the 1984 novel, unpersons disappearing, with all evidence of their existence destroyed. Well, we are certainly seeing more of Trump using secret police to disappear people, including American citizens, until Big Brother is confident that they are who they say they are. I don't know, Winston. I'm just telling you to figure it out more quickly, that if the people who are trying to erase history and disappear people are now demanding changes in political thought, you might want to rethink whether these are the best people who would lead our University of Wisconsin system, our legislature, and our state. We will check in with Melissa Baldoff. Our climate check report yesterday turned much more toward some of the politics involved with her husband, Joe Zepecki, running for chair and much more. So that's all coming up yet on this edition of Mornings Powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Midwest Farm Report is coming up next.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Eagle 1490 AM. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. This warning for the U.S. from the military spokesperson for the Houthi rebels in Yemen, who are backed by Iran. He says they will attack American ships in the Red Sea if the U.S. attacks Iran. The U.S. and the Houthis agreed to a ceasefire just last month. Hundreds of stranded Israelis evacuated to Cyprus, boarded a cruise ship today for home, an estimated 1,500, mostly young people from all over the world who were in Israel to connect with their Jewish heritage.
You see so many people looking any way to go back home. I think that this is part of who we are. We're not running away.
After more than 3 months in federal custody, Columbia University grad student and activist Mahmoud Khalil has been released from an immigration detention facility in Louisiana and is now in New Jersey, speaking today in Newark.
Even if they would kill me, I would still speak up for Palestine.
Millions in the U.S. under heat alerts or warnings. This is ABC News.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers with a shutout win over the Minnesota Twins today at Target Field. Very hot day, temperatures in the 90s, 28,000 fans in attendance. The crew coming out on top 9-0. Jose Quintana, 6 innings pitched, allowing no runs, getting the W. The Brewers have racked up 30 hits the past 2 days with no home runs, but driving in on those runs last night, 17-6 was the final against the Twins at Target Field. The series wrapping up tomorrow in Minnesota. College football. Story making national headlines, the University of Wisconsin suing the University of Miami, formally accusing the Florida school of tampering with a football player under financial contract with the Badgers. According to attorneys, Wisconsin says that defensive back Xavier Lucas was under contract under an NIL agreement with the Badgers, and therefore the Hurricanes should not have been allowed to go after him. The lawsuit being watched by universities now. Keeping you up to date this Saturday afternoon with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Danny Boyle is back with the release of 28 Years Later, his long-awaited third installment of the 28 Days franchise. In a recent article in Variety, the Slumdog Millionaire Oscar-winning director says, due to cultural appropriation, he probably couldn't direct a film like Slumdog Millionaire nowadays, but says he's okay with that and that he would want a young Indian director to have that opportunity to tell the story. What a cool dude. Boyle's other credits include Trainspotting and 127 Hours. Timothy Oliphant is on a roll. The star of Justified has a new show on Apple TV Plus called Lucky, where he stars opposite Anna Taylor-Joy. But Oliphant wasn't done. He still managed to find room in his calendar to join the cast of another Apple show called Stick, alongside Owen Wilson. The Emmy-nominated Oliphant will next be seen in FX's Alien Earth, which drops in August, and he will join a new Peacock show called Five Star Weekend. Cha-ching. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Heat advisory through the weekend, a low only in the upper 70s tonight and mostly clear. Hot, humid, hazy for tomorrow, highs in the mid-90s, heat index triple digits. Some storms on Monday. Staying warm and humid with highs in the upper 80s.
Currently, it's 96 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome the Green Bay Automobile Gallery's Daryl Burnett. And we rank our all-time favorite summer blockbuster movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We push ahead to the Todd Alba Show on this week's Civic Media Spotlight. In this segment, Todd heard from his sources that the Joint Finance Committee was planning to announce an $87 million budget cut to the UW system. After this information was leaked, the JFC removed that item from today's agenda, likely due to calls from constituents. If your representatives are doing things against your interests, call their offices and tell them how you feel. It could really make a difference.
And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, here at the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison, where skies are partly cloudy right now. It is sultry. Going to be in the 80s in Madison for highs today. It is humid, I can attest. Walked over and got a little coffee this morning before the show or before we started getting going here, and it's already pretty darn hot. Normally, the studio is freezing, at least in the afternoon. I'm wearing a sweater. Now, today, the one day that we could use a little air conditioning.
It's pretty toasty.
It's pretty toasty. I feel like a Pop-Tart.
Yeah, me too. Just slowly cooking.
No fear. About 3 o'clock, the freezer will kick in.
I'm sure.
I'm pretty confident.
This is partly cloudy. I can barely walk outside and keep my eyes open. It's so bright.
It is pretty bright out. But I'm ready for summer weather. I'm not going to complain. I've been wanting some summer weather, so I am ready for it. Hopefully you're ready for a great show today. Going to be a great one indeed. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, we're going to be joined in studio by James Small. He is the Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. James Small going to be here to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart. I know that many Wisconsinites are concerned about this, is our EMS system, emergency management system, also our EMTs as well. Emergency services, because here's what's happened over the years. Is we've seen more folks grow up and move away from rural areas, and then the population that's there is aging, and many of the people that are in charge of EMS, EMT services in rural Wisconsin have either died off or simply gotten too old to do the job. And a lot of younger folks don't feel called to do that. We're going to talk about what this means for Wisconsin, what this means for the legislature and the governor, what this means for all of us across the state of Wisconsin. And by the way, don't just think that this is only a rural, you got to go way out in the country. There are places like in Waukesha. You drive 10 miles and you're essentially in the country. Go to Green Bay, areas where you can drive 10 miles and you're basically in the country. So this is an issue that is important to all of us, or should be, across the state of Wisconsin. And hour number two, little what's worse for you today. It's Tuesday. That means Taco Tuesday. What's worse today, Taco Bell or Taco John's?
I'll get dinner at the Winner tonight.
Have you eaten at a Taco John's?
I've eaten at a Taco John's. It's been a minute, though.
Remind me, I have a story about Taco John's.
All right. All right. We'll get to that.
We'll do a Taco John's story in hour number two. And also in the bottom of hour number two, very honored to be joined here at the desk in studio by Wisconsin State Representative Jody Emerson, a Democrat from the Eau Claire area. She's been on the show once before when we took the show on the road, the Trigvy and Reed Galen, up at Osseo at the Norske Nook, enjoyed some pie with Representative Emerson. She is the ranking member on the Assembly Committee for Universities and Colleges. She is going to be here because that's where we're going to start the show, where we're going to end the show, and that is on some major news happening just over a block away from where we're at in downtown Madison at the Wisconsin State Capitol. Now, last night, if you follow me on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and the like, the follow sign is at All Ball Show on Twitter X, Twix, and the Todd All Ball Show on Facebook. And I posted late last night some breaking news from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, the flagship university here in Madison of the University of Wisconsin system. I know. It's now called the Universities of Wisconsin. Well, I still say the proper name is UW System, so that's what I like to refer to it as. We had, from our sources, gotten some breaking news. We passed it along last night, and it was this, that both mainly Democrats that I've talked to and staff in the Capitol and also a couple of Republicans that will still talk to me tangentially confirmed by saying, well, you're not too far off. And it was this devastating news coming out of the Capitol that the Joint Committee on Finance, Joint Finance Committee, most powerful committee in the legislature, controlled by Republicans, made up of assembly folks and senators, only two Democrats on both sides, so controlled by Republicans. Our old friend, and I say that sarcastically, State Senator Howard Markline is the co-chair on the Senate side. Of course, University of Wisconsin-Richland in Richland Center was closed a couple of years ago, and Howard Markline and his counterpart in the Assembly, who is also on the Joint Finance Committee, Tony Kurtz, said, oh, we don't have the power. There's nothing we can do. We can't get another $3 million in the state budget to save UW-Richland. I don't want to go down that road because that isn't specifically what this is about today. But the Joint Finance Committee was leaked last night. We had a hand in that, I'm proud to say, by getting the word out that when the Joint Finance Committee met today, I saw the agenda on the agenda for today, which they got underway about an hour ago, that was the budget of the University of Wisconsin system. Governor Evers had requested over $300 million in increases to the UW system. Because during the Walker years, the last time I worked in the Capitol, the UW system budget got gutted by Republicans in control. So Tony Evers was trying to restore some of that money. Remember, UW system led by President Jay Rothman, Board of Regents of the system are now controlled by appointees from Democratic Governor Tony Evers. And they've made slashes. They've closed half of the two-year campuses, six of the 12. They made other cuts throughout the UW system, gotten rid of largely of DEI, all at the behest and request primarily of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And they thought, well, if we play ball with these guys, if we make some of these big cuts, if we get rid of DEI, they'll be nice. They'll be nice. Remember the parable of the frog and the scorpion? There's a scorpion that wants to cross the river. There's a frog by the bank in the water. And the scorpion says, if you just give me a ride on your back across the other side, I'll be so indebted to you. And the frog says, yeah, but you're a scorpion. You could sting me and kill us both, and we drowned. And the scorpion says, no, I'm not like that. I'm not like other scorpions. You can trust me. And finally convinces the frog to give him a ride. And halfway across the river, the scorpion stings the frog. The poison rushes into the frog, and they both begin to drown. And the frog looks at the scorpion and says, you gave me your word. Why would you do this? And the scorpion simply replies, because that's who I am. That's my nature. UW System President Jay Rothman thought that by being a more amiable frog, that he could change the mind of Republicans in the state legislature, that he could make things different. But last night, the scorpion that is politically UW or the Republican legislature stung him. And it was announced and leaked out that the Joint Finance Committee today intended not only to not, to use double negative, they're not going to approve Governor Evers' $300 million plus in increases. They're not even going to approve current funding levels that they intend today, or intended perhaps now, to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And in talking to Democratic sources at the Capitol, if that were to happen, and if Republicans in the legislature were to pass a bill that included $87 million in cuts to UW system, there is a feeling, at least among some Democrats on the Senate side, that they were then ready and prepared to call on Democratic Governor Tony Evers to not just line item, use his veto pen, one of the most liberal veto pens in the country. I don't mean that large liberal, but small L liberal. Has a lot of purview. So the thought was that they would cut, or they wouldn't even be able to use the line item to get rid of these terrible cuts. And they may, keyword may, call on Democratic governor from their own party to veto the entire budget. Because remember, unlike the U.S. budget, if Wisconsin legislature and governor don't come to terms, don't pass a budget, government does not shut down. State government does not shut down. What happens is it continues on at the current level for the next 2 years. So if the governor were to veto the entire budget that included potentially $87 million in cuts to UW system, that would essentially be an $87 million gain for system. You understand where I went there? That by cutting, that by vetoing the budget that included, if it included $87 million in cuts, the governor was essentially saying, okay, UW, I know this is not what you want, but at least you get to continue at current levels for two more years. And so we put this out on our socials last night. I know that other people, after we did, amplified that. I know that our guest coming up in the second hour, Jody Emerson, was amplifying that last night in the Eau Claire area, was going through education circles. And today, about an hour before the show, it was announced that the Joint Finance Committee, guess what? Decided to pull that from the agenda, at least so far. It's a very fluid situation. Because apparently, from what I'm told, a lot of Republican legislators on the Joint Finance Committee got a lot of calls from a lot of angry constituents saying, you cannot kill the Wisconsin idea. And so far, it has been pulled. Now, also from what I'm told, that if they're to meet deadlines, the Joint Finance Committee has to do something with the UW budget by a week from today. So coming up in hour two at 3:30, really appreciate her fitting us into her very busy schedule. Representative Jody Emerson is going to be sitting right next to me and give us a live update. Perhaps we might actually see part of this motion by the Republicans and get a real number for you. Maybe we won't know anything more, but this is the last 12 hours, 12 to 15 hours, is a great example that when the truth is disseminated and people react, that results can happen. So congratulations to each one of you out there who called your legislator this morning and put enough pressure on for them to at least temporarily reconsider this $87 million cut. Because I talked to my former boss last night, former state senator Dale Schultz, who once chaired the university committee on the Senate side, was one Senate majority leader, longtime Joint Finance Committee member. He agreed. There's no way that UW could absorb $87 million in cuts without most likely closing the remainder 6 2-year campuses across the state and very likely closing at least 1 4-year university in the state. And or completely gutting colleges from within universities across the state. It would be devastating to the Wisconsin idea. What is the Wisconsin idea? One person asked me last night. And what are land-grant universities? And what's the connection to the Republican Party? We'll explain all of that on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's a busy Tuesday. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media.
Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at as Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Voting Rights Lab reports there were 59 state bills introduced on proof of citizenship for voter registration this year, and 160 bills concerning voter ID. A handful have made it near the finish line, but not all have passed. Since President Donald Trump's baseless accusations of mail-in voting fraud in 2020 and his unfounded claims of widespread non-citizen voting in the 2024 election, Republican-dominated legislatures have raced to pass stricter voter ID and proof of citizenship laws, despite no widespread abuse of either. In New Hampshire, versions of SB 218 were advanced, requiring submission of ID and proof of citizenship for absentee registration, and are now in a committee of conference. In Texas, a high-priority documentary proof of citizenship bill died without action at the end of the session. In Texas alone, there were 15 bills introduced to provide documentary proof of citizenship and 10 tightening voter ID laws. Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo surprisingly vetoed a bipartisan voter ID bill attempting to codify a widely supported ballot initiative. Democrats negotiated expanded ballot drop boxes in exchange for supporting voter ID. His veto statement said the bill did not address implementing voter ID for mail-in ballots. Wyoming and Indiana passed proof of citizenship earlier this year. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We finish our first hour of the Civic Media Spotlight with Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. In this segment, Pete talks with David Patterson, writer and producer of Bridge to Terabithia. Patterson shares tales from his multifaceted career as a stuntman, playwright, and fire department volunteer. Hear about the thrills and spills of performing dangerous stunts, including a heart-stopping moment on the Brooklyn Bridge.
This is a Wednesday edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me. Our question of the night, it's National Splurge Day, folks. So what is in your shopping cart? We will catch up on texts in just a little while. Right now we have some more time with our pal Dave Patterson, who is here. Dave wrote and produced the film The Bridge to Terabithia, Dave. The is not in the title. I found that out.
No, that would have cost extra in the posters.
So. It's just like the extra T. Yeah, you can't have that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So we were talking before the break about you finding out you have to make this long jump and teaching Robin Williams how to do it or coaching him somehow. How was that?
basically, I was coaching him on how to step off the bridge, okay, facsimile, and he had to do, I think, like a 4-foot drop onto a nice soft bag. Then they pulled everything away and put me up in the Whoa. Way up in the rafters, and I had to do a 40-foot version of that for the green screen, and then they would match it later with me in the East River. And it was unexpected for me and my stunt coordinator. And he walks up to me and basically looks at me. We didn't even speak. It's like, you're going to do it, right? Even though we both didn't expect this, you're going to do it, right? And not say a thing or complain or anything. And I'm like, yes. So I went ahead and did it. And it was, I hadn't done a large free fall since I was much younger. I told you I'd left the business to raise my boys and yeah. I had just gone back to business. And, but I made it and I didn't get hurt. But I had to land mostly on my stomach, chest, and face because of the way the fall was. And it was just on those gym mats that are about 18 inches thick because there wasn't enough room for anything more comfortable. And but wow. One of the great things was Robin insisted on watching the falls. And the first person that got me off the mat was him. And he was like, how's it, Chief? How you doing? That looked like it hurt. I go, well, it didn't tickle, but I'm doing okay.
And so, wait, you had to land on your stomach. From 40 yes, feet, how yes. does that work? You in a cord where it kind of softens the blow a little bit?
No, there was no cord. That was the thing. It was a free fall, no cord or anything like that. It was just don't hurt yourself, basically. It was make sure as you fall, wow. don't hurt yourself. And luckily, I just did it in 2 takes, and I made it. I made it. And he went and yelled at one of the producers and got me an additional $500 for it because
– Robin Williams.
Yes.
That's pretty
yes.
cool. Boy, that's yeah. I don't use the word hero very often, Dave, but you're mine after hearing that story. So
I need to record that and share that with my wife a little later on if I could.
So. What's the movie?
It's called The Angriest Man in Brooklyn. Okay. And then the other most dangerous stunt was we had to me and Mila Kunis's stunt double, not me and Mila Kunis. We had to race a van down Ditmars Boulevard about 80 miles an hour, blowing all these different lights. The issue was they had only stopped 6 different intersections, and the director was yelling us to go. We went through another 4 intersections without protection or the light stopped. We got pulled over by cops. They were going to cuff us when the director showed up with everyone, and because they saw us blow through some red lights, and they're like, you could have killed someone, and wow. we're like, sorry. And so we didn't get arrested, but the cop did chew out everyone on the set because they should have taken another 3 or 4 lights and protected those. So
no kidding.
So I guess that was even more dangerous because we could have just plowed into a, you know,
yeah.
a bag lady or something like that. But
David Patterson is my guest. He is the writer, producer of The Bridge to Terabithia, Love Ludlow, The Great Gilly Hopkins. And he is a good pal. I have to tell you, I think cops are hilarious on movie sets. Like, you know, I love how they sort of, we were shooting, you've seen my film, The Godfather of Green Bay. Lance Barber and I were shooting. We're just going guerrilla style on the strip, driving this little Geo. The cameraman's in front of us in a pickup truck with the camera sandbagged down, and he's filming us, and we get pulled over. And I make up some story about how we're sorry, officer, we don't have the permits. We just needed to grab this one shot. I got to get Lance back to L.A. He's on Yes, Dear tomorrow, which was a sitcom back a time sure. ago. Have you seen the show? And the cop is looking at us like he knows I'm full of it. And he goes, yeah, I like that show. I was like, okay. So he just let us go. He was like the coolest guy in the world. But like they seem to want to help. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In New York City, the New York film office, basically, yeah. New York film office, they assign you cops if you're shooting in the city. And depending on the size of the crew, they assign many different cops. You don't even have to pay for it. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
It's not rent a cop. It's just give a cop.
Wow.
And so they give you cops. And they're there just to make sure if some homeless guy comes up and starts, you know, throwing trash cans, you got a cop there to make sure that he goes away. And so, but the cops, yes, they are funny. They always make sure that there's enough donuts at the craft services. Right. Otherwise, there's going to be a complaint. But yeah, they are funny. Another interesting thing about civil servants is there's a lot of firemen that are stuntmen in New York City.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because it's one of the few jobs, civil servant jobs, where you can have another job because firemen work for 4 days and they're off for 3 days. They work for 3 days or off for 4 days. So they're allowed another job. So I've worked with a lot of New York City firemen who are also stuntmen. And they're just as crazy, if not more so, than regular stuntmen.
David Patterson is my guest. All right, here's what I want to do, Dave. I want to, when we do, we're going to do the news quick, as we call it, intermission. I want to ask you about Robin Williams, what you thought of him. And I want you to explain a little bit. I love when I meet people who have different backgrounds. You didn't just go to film school and you're making movies. You've done it all. You're also a volunteer fire department. You're the commissioner of the Parks Department. You've been a stuntman, a playwright. You just have a fascinating story. So we'll get into that when we come back. And obviously, I'll ask you about Bridge to Terabithia. And you need to tell us how your most recent film, The Girl Who Wore Freedom, did too. We'll do all of that after the news. Dave Patterson is here, ladies and gentlemen, on a Wednesday, a school night. Do you believe that? It's Peachwama, a Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Peachwama is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee says the State Department has started assisted departure flights to evacuate Americans from Israel. Summer hasn't officially been here long in a lot of the U.S., and already, says ABC News forecaster Danny Beckstrom,
150 million Americans under some sort of heat-related alert. That's from Denver, Colorado, up through Green Bay, Wisconsin, down through New Orleans, and even over into portions of Portland, Maine, going to be under those heat-related advisories.
Declaring a statewide disaster and activating the state emergency operations plan after tornadoes, strong winds, and hail yesterday killed 3 people. Caused widespread damage, North Dakota Governor Kelly Armstrong. After a meeting with the U.S. Special Diplomat for Ukraine, Keith Kellogg, and Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko in Minsk, several high-profile political prisoners have been released. This from a video of the opposition leader being reunited with his wife in Lithuania. This is ABC News.